and we will keep moving forward with our study today. Today is the 12th of April. This is what is called by the world Easter Sunday. And as you heard me say earlier, I'm not a fan of the word Easter at all. It occurs in the scripture one time, and it's in Acts chapter 12. I think it's verse 3. That is a translation error. It is incorrectly rendered Easter because of the tradition associated with it. But in the text of the Koine Greek, it's the word Pascha, which means Passover. So I like to call it Passover Sunday. And even that is not correct in a lot of days. The world has set apart a certain day of the month, or it's, what is it, the second Sunday in April or something like that, as defined by the government?
No, it comes from the time
yeah,
of whatever Lent.
Which in itself is yet another dose of tradition.
Yeah.
But at least, and I will say this, at least the world has set aside a day in which we can observe the resurrection of the Lord. And for that, I am thankful.
Amen.
I am so thankful that they have at least done that. And today, you know, whether it's totally correct or partially correct, guess what? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is being preached. And in a lot of cases, because of the way churches are holding their services, today it's rainy here, going to get worse later on in the day. I think it's going to even get stormy. So a lot of places around here had their what they so-called Easter service yesterday evening. And unbeknownst to them, they were actually doing it on a real Sabbath or a true Sabbath. But anyway, that being said, what I want to do today, we're going to divert a little bit from the normal study that we've been doing. And this came about as a result of me thinking about it a lot this week. And I really didn't know until yesterday what I really wanted to do for a study today. But then dear brother and friend of mine called, Mike Metchikowski, and he left me a message, and he said, "Hey, why don't you do a study on the events concerning the resurrection of Christ and the real day? What real day did it happen? Did it really happen on as a so-called Easter Sunday?" Well, I said that hit the spot, and as the Lord normally does, He normally takes care of these kind of things by revealing something to you that you didn't see before. And Mike, I thank you for the call. And so the subject of our study for today, we're going to divert a little bit from the norm. And so the subject for today is going to be truth concerning the Lord's resurrection. Because guess what? There was plenty of untruth out there concerning the Lord's resurrection. And I'll give you an example. Good Friday being one of them. Good Friday, supposedly the day that the Lord was crucified. And so they nailed it down, not knowing that even if they would just think about Christmas or New Year's or any other holiday throughout the year, that it occurs on a different day every year because of the way our calendar works. The days move, you know, to be on Thursday one year, and then Friday the next year, and Saturday the next year, and so on. Everybody knows how it works. But we've set aside a specific Sunday to go over these things, and so we also set aside that specific Friday in association with the specific Sunday. And in doing so, we're totally confused about what really took place and when it really happened. So what we're going to do today, and guess what? I have a purpose. I have a study purpose to go with the study. The purpose for today is to lay out for the believer, and I assume that everybody is here as a believer. If you are not here as a believer, then hopefully by the time I get finished, you will reconsider that position. But the purpose for today is to lay out for the believer the truth concerning the proper timing of the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, so we can put away the traditions and false teachings, as well as the paganism associated with these events. I just mentioned some of the Lent and Good Friday and the things that we hold as tradition apart from truth. If you want the truth, as always, we have to turn to the scriptures. And we can't take just one scripture. We have to look at them and reconcile them as a whole. And as Dad mentioned in his prayer, which was eloquent, you have to look at all the Gospels, all the recorded accounts, all the prophecies concerning these things that take place, and then make determinations based on that. Now, understandably, we're not going to be able to do that in 45 minutes or an hour. If we sat here till midnight and went as hard as we could go, there's no way I can give credence or give you enough information for you to understand all these things. Guess what? You are going to have to try the things that differ and study for yourself and search and see. If you really want to know, that's what the true believer will be looking to do anyway. So, that being said, let's move on. Last week, we looked at more occurrences of the foundation of the world and reviewed the final uses of the word tetabole in Scripture. We're going to pick back up with that study, as I said, next week, and we'll move forward with that from there. But for today's study, today is a special day, as it's set aside for. So what I want to do is use the occasion to clear up some of the misnomers concerning the events leading up to the Lord's resurrection and the resurrection itself and the datings to go along with that. So what I want to do to start with, turn with me if you would, to appendix, if you don't have a companion Bible, you are definitely cheating yourself out of a blessing. Because within it is contained 198 appendices or appendixes that are almost invaluable as far as the amount of information they contain. Now, they're not inerrant. They could have errors. But these have been put together by faithful men who were only looking for the truth and did not hold any credence to tradition. That position I can respect.
Nor were they
beholding to a king, as were the translators of your King James Bible. They merely, Bullinger and Welch were merely looking for truth. Their determinations and conclusions about a lot of their things, as well as Baker's, are up for discussion. And anytime anything within our group gets to the point where it's not up for discussion, then I will find me another group. Because I believe that we as a group need to be able to understand that we can talk about these things and discuss them and study them and not be angry at each other. So I'll preempt this whole study with this. I'm not saying anything to irritate anybody. I'm not saying anything to destroy anybody's faith. What I'm attempting to do is bolster your faith. And the way you bolster faith, which comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. So if I'm going to bolster your faith, I have to do it by giving you the word of God. Now, I could have put this study together myself, but I can't do justice to one of the appendices in the Companion Bible that I've held for a long time as being a really good synopsis of what's called the 6 days before the Passover, as is mentioned in John chapter 12, verse 1. So turn, if you would, to the back of your Companion Bible. And like I say, if you don't have a Companion Bible, Number one, you're cheating yourself out of a blessing. Number two, we can hook you up at Truth for Today. I hate to use this as a plug to be able to move companion Bibles, because guess what? I'm not making any money on them. As a matter of fact, I lose money with everyone that we sell from Truth for Today, because we pay the shipping and we sell the books at cost. So what I would love to do as a matter of discourse, or as a matter of the result of this study today, I would love to sell every companion Bible I've got on the shelf at the building by Monday and lose money on every one of them. That'll make me very happy. Why? Because then the word is in your hands for you to look at. And, by the way, as Mel pointed out, the appendices can even be downloaded. So whether you buy a Bible and the appendices to go with it, whether you buy a hard copy of just the appendices, or whether you download it, I don't care. Just get them, because they're going to help you as a student of the Word. Turn with me for our study today to Appendix 156 in the back of the Companion Bible. That's on page 179 in the appendices. And this is called 6 Days Before the Passover. And put your finger there with the other finger. Flip over to John chapter 12, and I want to read verse 1 of John, I want to read the first 11 verses of John chapter 12. And Chip, I don't know if you can post the copy out of the appendix or not, but if you can, man, that would be, yes, cool. That would be wonderful and highly appreciated. And I often don't thank Chip enough for what he does, both for TFT and for this study. So let me take the opportunity to do that right now. Chip, I really appreciate that and all you do, my brother. It says in John 11:1, now a certain man was sick. John 12:1. I'm a chapter off here. John chapter 12, verse 1. And this is where the appendix gets its title. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover. So these dates are apparent, or these times are apparent as we move through the various, gospels. You will see certain phrases like this, and you will see a list of the events that the Lord did here in John 12, beginning 6 days before the Passover. So that you know where Appendix 156 gets its name, this is where we begin. This is moving backwards 6 days from the Passover. And the Passover in this case is going to be a lot like the word katabole that we've been studying. It's going to be the zero point that the Gospels sort of use to time the various events leading up to the crucifixion of the Lord, the 3 days and three nights in the grave, and then the resurrection. So the Passover is sort of the target or the zero point. So keep that in mind as well as we move through this. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. So the Lord is there in Bethany with Lazarus, who used to be dead. How many books do you ever read start off like that? He's having lunch with somebody that was dead for 4 days. How interesting. There they made him a supper, verse 2, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, here in verse 4, Simon's son, which should betray him, he said this. He said, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Now that was Judas's take on everything. You're wasting that. You're just wasting it.
Very costly.
Yeah, this is expensive stuff.
You, this used it on. So.
Yeah. Thus he said, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. So he, I didn't know that he was a thief. So I learned something here today too. I thought he was just a betrayer, but here it says he's a thief as well. It said, then said Jesus, let her alone, against the day of my burying has she kept this. So the, do you think the Lord didn't know what was coming?
Yes.
None of this, listen, none of these things caught either the Lord or the Father by surprise, y'all. Remember, we've been talking about the lamb slain before the Ketubole, and the fact that his crucifixion took place in the flesh since the Ketubole. So they knew. This is not a surprise to either one. He said, for the poor you have with you, always. For the poor always you have with you. Guess what? We still have the poor with us today, 2,020 years since his birth. 2,020 years later, we still have poor people. So I guess he was right. He said, but me, you have not always, at least in the flesh. He said, much people of the Jews, or it goes on to say, much people of the Jews in verse 9, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, listen, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. You go back and read the account in John 11 of the Lord raising Lazarus from the dead. We got a dead man up walking around having lunch or supper. Awesome. A lot of people would like to see that. So the crowd had gathered evidently. It said, but the chief priest, verse 10, consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Not only can we not have Jesus up walking around, we can't have the testimony of his power up walking around either. We got to get rid of both of them. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews, what? Went away and believed on Jesus. Because of the raising of Lazarus, the Jews required a sign. And because of this, many went away believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is the intro to the 6 days that we're going to cover here in Appendix 156 today. So I hopefully now flip back over to Appendix 156 or turn there or whatever you need to do. I'm going to read you, because I can't phrase it any better than the writer here has. I'm going to read you the intro into this and let the appendix itself describe to you what we're going to be looking at here. It says, Appendix 156, 6 days before the Passover. It said, we are furnished by Scripture with certain facts and fixed points which, taken together, enable us, number one, to determine the events which filled up the days of the last week of our Lord's life on earth, and number two, to fix the day of his crucifixion, and number three, to ascertain the duration of the time he remained in the tomb. Do you think any of these points are important? I certainly do. If this is what I'm going to base my faith on, I think it's important that we know the dates if the Scripture gives us these dates. I mean, that only, to me, that only makes sense. And the dog is in a battle with something. I'm not really, with itself? Okay. So it says, it goes on to say, the difficulties connected with these three have arisen. And here's why people have difficulties with ascertaining the roots of these three things. Number one, from not having noted these fixed points, not even knowing that there are fixed points in the Scripture. Number two, from the fact that Gentiles not having been conversant with the law concerning the three great feasts of the Lord. How many of you can name off the feast right now as a Gentile? I don't see too many hands raising up. I didn't grow up a Jew. I didn't even grow up knowing much about Jews. And I would bet that neither of you guys did very much either. I do not have that heritage. I don't have that background. I don't have their knowledge of their feast, the holidays that they keep, why they did it, other than what little I know about it from Scripture.
Or even their calendars.
Yeah, or even how they kept their calendar. We're going to refer to the month of Nisan today. How many of you know what month Nisan is? Daddy does. It's April, right? April is the month of Nisan.
Amen.
On the Hebrew calendar. So, in number three, the problems come along from not having reckoned the days as commencing some 6 hours before our own and running from sunset to sunset instead of from midnight to midnight. Listen, the days on the Roman calendar that we live by, we run from midnight to midnight. At midnight, it goes from Sunday to Monday. And then the next midnight, it goes from Monday to Tuesday and so on. That was not the case with the Hebrew calendar 2,020 years ago. It ran from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. 6 p.m. was the beginning of the next day, and 6 p.m. That's how it ended, just like it does with us at midnight. Their day went from sunset to sunset, not midnight to midnight. That's hard for us to grasp.
As far as I know, the Seventh-day Adventists are the only people that do that.
They get that. Yeah, they've got that right. At least that part, for all the importance that that carries.
Well, I did work for some, and they was times they just wouldn't do things that they ordinarily
do. Oh, well.
Because it was their, it was their.
There's some in Lori's family, and if you want to talk to them after Friday at 6 p.m., you're out of luck.
Yeah.
They're not going to talk to you from Friday 6 p.m. to Saturday 6 p.m. It just ain't going to happen. So you see the problems that we as Gentiles, or believers even, have with understanding how we can even begin to grasp what's going on with these days. So let's read on. It says, to remove these difficulties, we must note number one. Here's how you remove the difficulties to understanding these things. Number one, that the first day of each of the three feasts, the Passover, the Pentecost, and Tabernacles, was a holy convocation. That's the first fact that we got to note. A Sabbath on which no servile work was to be done. Now, the references for this are in Leviticus chapter 23, as you note there, and in Exodus chapter 12. That Sabbath and the high day of John 19:31 was the holy convocation, the first day of the feast, which quite overshadowed the ordinary weekly Sabbath. So when you had these high days of these feasts, they overshadow the weekly Sabbath that went with it in that same week.
And all these Jews were commanded to go to Jerusalem the three times a year there
by the law. It was written in the law. You can see from the reference there to Leviticus and Exodus. These things were handed down by God to Moses. And if you're even a half decent Jew, you gotta at least hold the feast. You would have been a scumbag to have ignored, as a Jew in that day, a Hebrew, any of these feasts. It was called by the Jews, I believe that's gonna be pronounced Yom Tau.
Yom Tau.
Yom Tau, or good day. And this is the greeting on that day throughout Jewry down to the present time. This great Sabbath, having been mistaken from the earliest times for the weekly Sabbath, has led to all the confusion. See, we look at these high Sabbaths and think, well, it's on a Sunday. Because to us, Sunday is, to us dumb Gentiles, Sunday is the Sabbath. Well, it never has been, y'all. I don't want to bust your bubble. I'm not trying to take away your faith. There is no religious authority in the world that's ever had the authority to remove or move the Sabbath to a new day. It just doesn't happen that way. God set forth the days of the true Sabbath back in the law. And that was given to the children of Israel. Let's move on. Number two, this is the things that we have to do to remove the difficulties in understanding what's going on. The number two thing is, this has naturally caused the further difficulty as to the Lord's statement that even as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, as is mentioned in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. When the scripture says 3 days and three nights, that ties it down to 3 24-hour periods, y'all. There is no way, and that's coming out of the Lord's mouth himself, according to the prophecy of Jonah. He said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so shall the heart of, so shall the Son of Man be as well. And I'm paraphrasing. You can't get 3 days and three nights from Friday morning to Sunday morning, no matter how many times you slice it. I'm sorry. Math just is cruel that way. Math and calendars are very cruel. They don't care what you think. They don't care what your traditions are. They just do what they do. And I'm not trying to be smart. I'm just trying to put it out there the way it really happened. So let's move on now. While it is quite correct to speak according to Hebrew idiom of 3 days or 3 years, while they are only parts of 3 days or 3 years, yet that idiom does not apply in a case like this where three nights are mentioned in addition to 3 days. The 3 days and three nights is different from saying, well, in about 3 days. When you tie it down like that, you are specifically, as the Lord was, talking about 3 24-hour periods. No question. It will be noted that the Lord not only definitely states this, but repeats the full phraseology so that we may not mistake it. See the subject fully discussed in Appendix 144. And hey, listen, Appendix 144, Appendix 146, Appendix 165, and there are others in this companion Bible that will help you straighten out your ball of twine that's all tangled up and get these hours, days, and events correct. It's not that hard if you just look at the scripture. And amazingly, when you look at Appendix 156, it lists, as we're going to look at in just a couple of minutes if I have time, if you look at it, it lists every event that's mentioned that the Lord did in these 6 days leading up to the crucifixion. And guess what? If you look over to the right, there are four columns. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And for each of these events, it gives you the scripture reference in each of the Gospels that go along with it.
If they're there.
If they're mentioned. Some things are only mentioned in one Gospel.
Yeah.
Some things are mentioned in two.
Right.
Others are mentioned in all the Gospels. So you see how it works. I didn't write the scripture, y'all. That's the way the Lord laid it out. The Lord inspired. All scripture is given by God by inspiration. And it's profitable. It's profitable for us to look at.
2 Timothy 2:15 gives you the understanding of what you just said.
To rightly divide it. Exactly.
And all scriptures, not just one of the Gospels, not just one of the epistles, but a lot of times you've got to look in many places in order to get...
Oh, exactly. To get the full synopsis. That's what I'm talking about. To get the full message of what's going on here, to get the full understanding of the scripture used, you've got to lay it out the way it's laid out in this book. And I'm not saying this is perfect, but hey, take a look at it, check it out. So the third thing that we need to have in order to displace a lot of this misunderstanding, we have therefore the following facts furnished for our sure guidance. And that's what I like, is sure guidance. Number one, the high day of John 19:31 was the first day of the feast. Number two, the first day of the feast was on the 15th day of Nisan. On the 15th day of April. In our calendar, that would be the 15th day of April. Guess what? Today is only April 12th. And we're celebrating Easter. Well, that ought to tell you something. Number three, the 15th day of Nisan commenced at sunset on what we should call the 14th day of Nisan. Remember, the Hebrew day goes from sunset to sunset, not midnight to midnight.
6 p.m. to 6 p.m.
Yep. Number four, 6 days before the Passover, as in John 12:1, takes us back to the 9th day of Nisan. Do the math.
Thursday, sunset, Friday.
Yep. Number five, after 2 days is the Passover. This is mentioned in Matthew 26:2 and in Mark 14:1, takes us to the 13th day of Nisan. You see how it works. We have these sure dates that we can check. And number six, the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection, as mentioned in Matthew 28:1 and so on, was from our Saturday sunset. Listen to this. That was from our Saturday sunset to our Sunday sunset. This fixes the days of the week just as the above fixed the days of the month. For number one, reckoning back from this, 3 days and three nights, as mentioned in Matthew 12:40, we arrive at the day of the burial, which must have been before sunset on the 14th of Nisan, or i.e. before our Wednesday sunset.
Yeah, the good day, or the young pal that they talk about there, they had to get him in the grave before sunset, before the 6
p.m. Before 6 p.m. It had to happen. You see how it works, y'all. Number eight. This makes the 6th day before the Passover, or the 9th day of Nisan, to be our Thursday sunset to Friday sunset, 6 days before that. Therefore, Wednesday, Nisan the 14th, commencing on the Tuesday at sunset, was the preparation day on which the condition took place, for all four Gospels definitely say that this was the day on which the Lord was buried before our Wednesday sunset, because it was the preparation day, as Dad said. The bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, as it says in the scripture, and therefore, not the ordinary seventh day or weekly Sabbath. You see how it works. The high days or the high Sabbath trump the weekly Sabbath. And that's mentioned in John 19, chapter 19, verse 33. So number four. And let's do this. Let's read this one. And then we'll go over some of these major events and the actual dating of the days that go with it. It follows, therefore, that the Lord being crucified on the preparation day could not have eaten of the Passover lamb, which was not slain until the evening of the 14th of Nisan, i.e. in the afternoon. On that day, the daily sacrifice was killed at the 6th hour at noon, and offered about the 7th hour or 1 p.m. The killing of the Passover lambs actually began directly afterwards. Thus, it is clear that if the killing of the Passover lamb did not commence until about 4 hours after the Lord had been hanging upon the cross, and would not have been concluded at the 9th hour or 2 p.m., or 3 p.m., I'm sorry, when he gave up the ghost, no Passover lamb could have been eaten at the Last Supper on the previous evening. Oh, a little problem there too, evidently. Number five, with these facts before us, We are now in a position to fill in the several days of the Lord's last week with the events recorded in the Gospels by noting that the Lord returned to Bethany or to the Mount of Olives each night of that week. We're able to determine both the several days and the events that took place in them. And praise the Lord that they took the time to go through these events and lay them out for us so that we have them at least, if nothing else, as a jumping off place. We have a place to begin to say, well, these men say that this event happened at this time. Now you can go back and guess what? You can check the scripture for yourself and you can search and see with the help of these men that have already come and gone. What a great God we have.
Yeah, it tells you. You know, it tells you day by day that the main events of what happened and what gospel they're in.
Exactly. So if you're looking at Appendix 156, you can see that the beginning here, it says the sixth day before the Passover or the ninth day of Nisan, as I mentioned in the notes. This is our Thursday sunset to Friday sunset, in case you are confused about when it took place. Prior to the Passover, y'all. And you can read the events there. And it usually at the end mentions he returns to Bethany. And it gives you, look, there's the columns. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John doesn't mention hardly any of the events that takes of the first, looks like, 8 or 9 events. But John does mention in 12:1 that he returns to Bethany. So you see the way the appendix works and the way it's laid out. Then the fifth day before the Passover, which was the 10th day of the month of Nisan, was our Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. So you see how it works. That would have been... well, in our economy for the Seventh-day Adventists, that would have been their Sabbath, because it's from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. Yeah. But you see here, it's just the fifth day before the Passover.
Yeah.
Now, moving on, the fourth day before the Passover was the 11th day of Nisan, and that, of course, is from Saturday sunset to Sunday sunset. This is the Gentile Palm Sunday. It's what the Gentiles call Palm Sunday. I'm not going through a lot of these events and the scriptures to go with them for time's sake leading up to them. We're down to about 15 minutes here. I want to move on down toward the Passover, the day before the Passover, actually. So you see then, moving on, the third day before the Passover was the 12th day of Nisan, and that was our Sunday sunset to Monday sunset. Then the second day before the Passover was the 13th day of Nisan, and that was our Monday sunset to our Tuesday sunset. And this is...
And you see John wrote it, doesn't say anything.
Yeah, John doesn't talk at all about the second day for the Passover. No. He doesn't have any events... evidently, that go along with that at all.
To him, it was that this was not as important as something.
Yeah, but look, when we get down to the day before the Passover, this is what is called the preparation day.
Amen.
The day before the Passover is the 14th day of Nisan, the preparation day. This is the day of the crucifixion. If you start, you can see it begins with the plot of Judas Iscariot to betray the Lord, and that's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You see how it works. The preparation for the Last Supper is even recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John doesn't mention either of those. And you can see the character of each of the Gospels sort of reflected in what the writer chooses to record. Have you noticed that? You know, when John presents Christ as God, a lot of this little stuff like this, he has no need to write about, because that doesn't have anything to do with Christ being presented as God. Think about it. That's why all four Gospels are so important to understand how it works, y'all. You can't look at just one Gospel and get the whole picture. And I'm going to give you a great example of that. Come on down to about the middle of the preparation day, the list there that's recording the 14th day of Nisan, and you will see there's a notation that the Lord led away to be crucified. That's covered in Matthew 27, Mark 15, Luke 23, and John 19. That event is recorded in all four of the Gospels because it's very pertinent to what's taking place and to all four of the Gospels. Now look right under it. It says, and led away with him two malefactors. And it gives you the Greek word, I believe it's kartiorgai, for the malefactors. And you can look at this in Appendix 164. I highly recommend you do this because guess what? There weren't just three crosses there that day, or staros, poles. There weren't just three. I don't know if you've considered this, but according to the scripture, there were five. There was the Lord, two kartiorgai evildoers, and two lestai thieves. The malefactors, the evildoers, were led with him as he was led to the cross and crucified there with him. The two thieves, the lestai in the Greek, are brought later after the parting of the garments and are crucified there with the other three. Now, this may come as a surprise to you. Hopefully it doesn't. But a lot of people get really bent out of shape about this, because they've always seen these three crosses. They can't get it out of their mind that there's only three, when there's really five. There were two malefactors, two thieves, and the Lord. Let's read on. This event, where these two malefactors are led with him, is only recorded in Luke and John. Drop on down where it says, then were the two robbers, the lestai, crucified with him. And that is only mentioned in Matthew and Mark. Did you see that? The later event is only mentioned in Matthew and Mark. It was one of the two evildoers that were the closest to the Lord and could probably very easily have a conversation with him. It was one of those two that said, hey, he ain't done anything deserving of his punishment like we have. Lord, remember me when you comest into your kingdom. And the Lord said, verily, verily, I say unto thee this day,
or today,
you shall be with me in paradise. He didn't tell him he'd be there with him that day.
No.
He told him that day.
Had to.
Yeah. Because guess what? If he's there that day, then he can't be in the grave 3 days and three nights like he said he would.
Yeah.
Let's use our brains here. And again, I'm not trying to be smart or abrasive. I just want to lay it out like it really is. There were two robbers, lestai, different Greek word, crucified with him, and they were brought, if you look in Matthew and Mark, they are brought after the parting of the garments. It's very plain in the scripture. I'm not making this up. Check it out. If you keep on moving down, it says he's buried in haste at the bottom of the preparation day. Buried in haste before sunset, our Wednesday about 6 p.m. So the Lord is hastily buried in the tomb, our Wednesday about 6 p.m., before the high day, the first day of the feast of the Passover begins.
They didn't have the time to lift the spices and anoint the body.
No.
After he died, they put him in the grave without that. That was the reason for going back.
Exactly. They were in a hurry to get it done. Because guess what? When the Romans decided to do something, they didn't really care much about the... the datings of the Hebrews. Yeah, your time, you're our captive country, so we will do it at our leisure and not at yours. That's just the way the Romans worked. Now, flip over a page. Let's keep looking at Appendix 156. I've got just a few minutes. Here we begin the 3 days and the 3 nights in the tomb, y'all. The first day of the feast, or the high day. This is the zero day, the Passover, that is mentioned in Acts chapter 12, verse 3, I believe it was. The first day of the week, the high day, this is the Yom Tov, the 15th day of Nisan. That's our Wednesday sunset to Thursday sunset. The Lord is dead, 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 and in the grave. Because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that if he didn't die, we are yet in our sins. And guess what? I am not in my sins today. Thank God for that and for the understanding of that. I am not in my sins because he died. You have to let the Lord die to get your sins paid for, y'all. He didn't go and preach to spirits in prison and all this tradition that you hear about. He was as dead as my mother is today. For the first day, the 15th day of Nisan, the second day of the feast is the 16th day of Nisan. That's our Thursday sunset to Friday sunset. Then guess what? That's the second night and the second day in the tomb. The previous day, the Wednesday sunset, the Thursday sunset, was the first night and the first day in the tomb. I want you to understand that he perfectly fulfilled the prophecy of Jonah. 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth. 3 24-hour periods. And you can't get there from Good Friday to Sunday morning. I'm sorry. Just can't do it. So the 16th day of Nisan rounds out the second night and the second day in the tomb. Then the third day of the feast is the weekly Sabbath, which would be the 17th day of Nisan, which would be our Friday sunset to our Saturday sunset. That's the third night and the third day in the tomb. Guess what? He was there, according to the scripture, for 3 days and 3 nights, just like he said he would be. Christ wouldn't lie about that. The world would. The world lies about pretty much everything. Fake news abounds. The world is full of fake news in one way or another. Christ didn't lie, the world does. And then we have what's called the first day of the week. This is the 18th day of Nisan.
After 6 p.m.
After the 6 p.m. It's our Saturday sunset, the third day of Matthew 16:21 and so on, not the third day of the feast. You see that? It said thus, and I'll conclude with this, I'm about out of time. Thus the resurrection of the Lord took place. Listen to this. Listen carefully. Here's the punchline. The resurrection of the Lord took place at our Saturday sunset, or thereabouts, on the third day after 3 days, according to Matthew 27:63 and Mark 8:31. This is recorded, guess what, in all four Gospels. Matthew 28:1-10, Mark 16:1-18, John 24:1-40, and John 20:1-23.
Nothing more important than
that
for us.
It behooves us as believers to know these things. It says it will be seen from the above that we have neither power nor authority to alter or shift any day or date, or to change the order or position of any of the events recorded in the Holy Scriptures. You just don't have the authority to move it, folks. Now, I know a lot of folks don't believe that, and they don't even go by that. We have to leave the Word of God the way He wrote it. I did not write this book. The Word of God inspired it to be written by holy men of old, not Ronnie McCurry. I am a mere student and a poor one at that, and an even worse teacher. But what I hope that has happened today, that you will take what I have said and search and see for yourself with the proper study aids given. And you can see that the Scripture actually lays it out pretty plain for us.
I like that last sentence in that thing. The fixed days and dates at either end hold the whole period as if it were in a vise.
Like it's in a vise. You can't move something that you clamp in a vise. These dates are, that's really good, Dad. These dates are fixed and they hold the whole period and place the whole subject on what's called a sure familios, a sure foundation. We have not believed cleverly devised fables, but we have the testimony of the Word of God.
Good place to finish that, because we've been doing foundations.
That's exactly right. We have the testimony of the Word of God at our grasp.
And that's the way it is.
You're right. That is a great way to end that. And I am out of time. Bow with us if you would, folks. And we'll close there for today. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for these truths. Thank you for this word, the power of it, the truth of it. Father, the accuracy of it, the detail of it. Thank you that you have given us these things. Thank you for all the blessings that we have and that we understand according to this resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you so much for Him and for the facts that we have before us. Thank you for we have a sure testimony of what your love is that has been displayed to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with those again that need a touch from you today. Be with the world that needs this message more and more each passing day. And thank you for the grace that you have given all of us in understanding these things. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen.